celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. My first guest, Ryan Hebert with Satchos Collar, started her company after visiting Puerto Rico last year and is here to tell us how that all started. Hi, Ryan, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
That was my pleasure. Now, what inspired you to start Satchos Collars?
Actually, my friends and I took a trip to Puerto Rico in 2012, which is a beautiful country, but we were shocked at the number of stray dogs that we saw wandering the streets there. And there's not an exact estimate, but it ranges from somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 strays. When we came home, we did our homework, and we found out that part of the reason for the stray dogs there is that the public views them as a health hazard because their numbers are so out of control, and they're often the victims of abuses such as burning and drowning. And there's even a beach there called Dead Dog Beach because so many dogs have been abandoned, which can also have a negative effect on tourism because people don't really want to go to the beach when there's dead dogs there. So,
of course,
that's basically what inspired us.
Well, you know, not at all, because, you know, sometimes these are the things that you don't really realize are going to affect you. You're going on vacation and you come back with a whole other, aspect of what you visited and what you saw. So on your website, satchoscollars.com, it says that with every collar you purchase, one stray dog will receive vaccinations. So who administers these vaccinations and what does it include?
Well, we work with the Puerto Rican rescue organization Island Dog. They administer the vaccinations for us, and it's a full round of vaccinations, which covers rabies, bordetella, that is kennel cough preventative, and then DHL-PPC. And DHL-PPC provides protection against distemper, hepatitis, leptospirosis, parvo, para influenza, and coronavirus. So it covers all of the vaccinations that a dog needs in order to be adopted. And they also do spaying and neutering. So they get their vaccinations and get spayed and neutered, and then they can be adopted.
That really helps a lot, I'm sure. And with Island Dog, you know, they're kind of the ones that are on the ground and working with this problem every day. And, you know, I didn't think to ask about this, but are they doing any kind of education for the locals as far as the treatment of the dogs?
Yes, definitely. And the other organizations there in Puerto Rico are also doing that. I think that's kind of the common mentality now, that education is one of the most important things that we can do to actually solve this problem, and just changing people's perceptions about dogs and also helping people realize that healthier dogs, you know, equal a healthier community, because a lot of these diseases can actually be passed on to humans. So I think education is key, and that's what most of the rescue organizations are doing besides actually, you know, getting the pups adopted.
Well, the collars really are pretty, and something unique that I noticed on your website is the use of recycled vintage trim. So tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. The vintage trim is actually from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and then I think even cooler, our collars and leashes are actually 100% made in the USA, which means our nylon is made in the USA, our hardware is made in the USA, and the labor as well. So I don't know, I think it's pretty rare to find a dog collar company where everything is made in the USA. Usually I think a lot of it is outsourced or the products come from abroad.
Well, I applaud you for that, because you're right. I think we see that very rarely nowadays. And had you actually sold collars before this?
No, I'm a photographer, but now I do both. And it works out great because I can do all the photography for my business, which saves costs and it's fun. And I'm actually going to be taking a trip to Puerto Rico in the summer, so I'm looking forward to taking pictures of the Satchos to raise more awareness about them, and also just to take pictures of the country and the people, because it's a really great country, and I love it there.
Well, your collars are very unique, and it's such a great thing you're doing. How else can our listening audience help the Satcho dogs in Puerto Rico?
I think what I was saying before, the most important thing is education, because in Puerto Rico, there's a big problem with backyard breeding, and there's stigmas against spaying and neutering, especially with neutering, and abandonment. So I think education is really important, and people often tell me, they're like, well, there's so many dogs that need help here. But I remind them that Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory, and I think that we should work together to help solve the problem. So I think with any, you know, as with any nonprofit and trying to help in a situation, researching different rescue organizations in Puerto Rico and finding one that you like that emphasizes education, vaccinations, spaying and neutering and adoption, and then getting involved with that organization, whether it's donating money or volunteering, holding a fundraiser, or, I don't know, even just telling people about the situation or posting it on your Facebook page or your Twitter. But for me, Island Dog is my favorite organization, so I think everyone should check out Island Dog.
Well, it's good advice, and it kind of helps everybody just to remember, you know, just sometimes it's the little things that you can do that make a big difference. And I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today, and best of luck in all you do to help the Satos in Puerto Rico.
Thank you so much for having me.
For more information, log on to satocollars.com. That's SATOSCOLLARS.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll learn more about how to help our greyhound friends. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Phyto-Friendly is the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, along with health and wellness topics, dog training tips, and the latest fashion trends. Pick up a copy at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, or go online to PhytoFriendly.com and subscribe today. PhytoFriendly is the only magazine dedicated to the travel and lifestyle of man's best friend, and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims for Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is brought to you by our good friends at The Honest Kitchen, where dehydrated raw pet foods offer a way to create fresh, natural meals for your pet in the comfort of your home. Many dog lovers are familiar with the plight of greyhounds used for racing, and here to shed light on how we can help those retired, along with supporting the fight to eliminate greyhound racing, is Christine Dorchak from Grey2K USA. Hi, Christine, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on to talk about my favorite subject, helping greyhounds.
Well, it's my pleasure. What is the mission of Grey2K USA?
Well, Grey2K USA is a nonprofit organization, and we work to pass laws to protect greyhounds. And what that means is we are working to end dog racing in the United States, and we have a goal of expanding our efforts worldwide. So we have big dreams, and so far so good. We've managed to help close 26 tracks in the United States, and where there were once 15 states with dog racing, there are now just 7.
That is truly amazing. And so how long have you been with Grey2K USA?
Well, I actually co-founded Grey2K USA, and it was during my first year of law school. So it was a very big year, 2001, for me and for this organization. My co-founders included a veterinarian named Dr. Jill Hoppenbeck and a political strategist named Carrie Teal. And Carrie is still with the organization. He's our executive director. And you'll often see, if you Google Carrie Teal, you'll see a lot of information that he has put out about dog racing. And while he really leads our campaigns, I am the president of the organization and also its general counsel. And that keeps me quite busy. I think I'm the only greyhound lawyer in the country who is actually working to end dog racing rather than to promote it.
Well, kudos to you. This is probably something on the peripheral for a lot of folks. I think myself included, when I go up to my local PetSmart or Petco, and we have a local group here in Idaho that will bring out the greyhounds. And usually there's, you know, it's a small group. Usually one or two dogs are there, and they just look like the sweetest animals, really.
Is that Greyhound Rescue of Idaho?
I'm sure it is. I'm outside of Boise.
The head of and founder of that organization, Virginia McKean, was one of the founders of Grey2K USA. So it's all linked.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I've never seen a race. You know, I used to go to the track when I was young. My parents back in the day, were big racetrack aficionados, and my brother and I just got drug along, but we never had seen a greyhound race. And I wonder if you just kind of briefly, tell what do the dogs experience?
Well, you know, it's really surprising to people who haven't been to a dog race, which actually is most people, because it's not a very popular activity. One thing I'd like to point out to anyone who has never been to a dog track is that a dog race is just about 30 seconds long. That's it. So those who try to promote dog racing will always say, well, wait, they love to run. Well, sure, if I were kept in a cage for 22 hours a day on average and they let me out, you betcha I'd run too. Now, if I happened to be one of the fastest animals on earth, I'd do pretty well. Greyhounds can run, it is estimated, at 45 miles per hour. But because they are such wonderful athletes and because they do love to run, it is very cruel what this dog racing industry does to them. They are kept confined in stacked cages inside warehouses for most of the day. A few times a month, they are let out to race. So they get that 30 seconds of a race, and then they get put right back in the cage again. This is just no way to treat any dog, especially a greyhound, who does love to run.
I know, and I was looking at your website too, and I saw quite a lot of photos, and I was wondering that, you know, you've had such great success, it sounds like, and you're shedding light on the inhumane treatment, but what's involved in shutting down these tracks? I noticed there were signs of picketers. I mean, is this part of the process, or I imagine legally it has to be a long, drawn-out procedure?
Well, you know, the heart and soul of this organization are our volunteers. I started out as a volunteer. I was one of the lead signature gatherers for the campaign, which predated the formation of Great GK USA, and I collected thousands and thousands of signatures to help put a ban on greyhound racing on the ballot in my home state. So volunteers are really the heart and soul of the organization, and to, you know, ending dog racing is what we need to do, because as long as greyhound racing continues, greyhounds will suffer. And it's really important that people understand that dog racing is legal unless it's made illegal. Dog racing is legal in, it's legal and operational, in 7 states. But it's actually legal in more than that. There are 5 states in which dog racing has ended, but it's still legal. So someone actually could come around and say, I want to start dog racing again in Connecticut. So it's our job as activists to become politically active, understand the law, understand the process, and if there is an opportunity to bring a prohibition on dog racing to the citizens for a vote, which is possible in several states, that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is actually to go before lawmakers and ask them to prohibit dog racing. So we've actually used both tactics, and we were the first and only organization to successfully pass a ballot question to prohibit dog racing. That was in our home state of Massachusetts. We followed by passing prohibitions through the legislatures of New Hampshire and Rhode Island. So there are many ways to bring an end to dog racing through the process, but activists have to learn that process in order to fight for the greyhounds most effectively. And that's the reason that I went to law school, because I didn't understand the process. And I wanted to learn more so I could do more. And we hope that anyone listening to this program will say, I wonder, what can I offer? I'm an artist. I could help promote, you know, knowledge about greyhound racing through my artistry, for instance. Or I'm good at calling people on the phone. I could help educate people. I could make a donation so that Great GK USA can help educate others through print ads and online and so forth. There are so many ways, and each of us has different skills, and they can all help the greyhounds.
Well, and I also see from your website, for those of us that are less talented, on gray2kusa.org, that we're actually able to make donations along with some fun shopping options, which will also raise money. So what kind of fun products can we find there?
Our shop page has great stuff for people and dogs alike. And right now, we are selling our T-shirts and some of our dog and people jewelry, which we have both, on sale at 50% off. So I'd go for that if you're interested in sales and bargains. We've got them. We're also about to offer a special Mother's Day package for all those greyhound dog-loving moms out there. And you look for that soon on our website, on our shop page, and we're at gray2kusa.org. So there's fun to be had while helping greyhounds.
Absolutely, and I want to thank you so much for all your tireless work on the name of Greyhound, and all the best in continuing the fight to help save our furry companions.
Thank you so much. My greyhound Zoe motivates me each day to keep working for her fellow greyhounds. And I believe this is a campaign we can win, and one day all greyhounds will be just beloved hounds once more.
For more information on how you can help, check out the heartwarming video on their website, gray2kusa.org, and gray is G-R-E-Y. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about flying your dog in cabin. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Fighter-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Fido-Friendly is the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, along with health and wellness topics, dog training tips, and the latest fashion trends. Pick up a copy at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, or go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today. Fido-Friendly is the only magazine dedicated to the travel and lifestyle of man's best friend, and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims for Fido-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. Now, if you have a petite pooch and are fond of air travel, Kristen Underwood from Sherpa is on the line to fill us all in on all things travel. Hi, Kristen, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always fun. You know, Sherpa has long been known for quality when it comes to soft-sided pet carriers. So tell me, was Sherpa the first brand to lead the pack?
Sherpa was the first soft-sided pet carriers on the market, which was a big improvement over the standard hard plastic carriers that had sort of been the lead up to that date.
Well, I'm not lucky enough to have a petite pooch. I've flown my junior, my black lab 75-pounder in cargo once a few years ago, and I was just filled with trepidation, and it all turned out fine. But it's certainly more comforting to know you could have Fido in cargo. And I wanted to ask you, since you're a travel expert, how has traveling with Fido changed since Sherpa opened its doors?
Well, our founder, Gail Martz, was a flight attendant with TWA, and she was the first one to really introduce having pets in cabin for travel. So because of the soft-sided carriers and the way that Sherpa carriers are built, they're easy to take on a plane with smaller dogs, of course. Unfortunately, not your black lab, but it's great to have your dog just sitting right underneath the seat in front of you. You can kind of reach down, make sure they're okay. They're still bonded with you and still very close by.
Oh, I know. I have a grandson who's going to turn 9 this week, and they have 2 little chihuahuas, and, you know, he's not going to come out here for a visit, from LA to Boise without those 2 little dogs. I know there's other sizes besides chihuahuas, but what size dogs are best suited for a Sherpa and traveling in cargo? I mean, in cabin.
Generally, it would be dogs smaller than 20 pounds. It varies airline to airline. Generally, the best place to find out that information is to visit our website, which is www.flygob.com. That's for our Guaranteed Onboard program. And all of the various airline requirements are listed on the site.
So what does that mean? What is Guaranteed Onboard?
Guaranteed Onboard is a proprietary program from Quaker Pet Group, which is the parent company for Sherpa. And it's a program that that guarantees that if your dog and you are not allowed on a flight because of an issue with the carrier, we will reimburse the cost of your ticket and the pet traveling fee.
Wow, so you're pretty 110% sure that your product is going to be guaranteed on board.
Absolutely. Part of the GOB program is getting on to the site at flygob.com, like I said, and filling out a form with all of your pet's information, all of your information, your travel information, and then getting a health certificate, which we also have available on site, and then you just print all that out and bring it up to the gate with you. You still need to make your pet reservations, but at least the paperwork kind of helps speed the process along and better educates you as to what you need to know to travel with your pet.
Well, you certainly have a lot of different things on your website. I was on SherpaPet.com, and I was just wondering, do you have a bestseller, or is it just pretty much everything sells equally?
Definitely our bestseller is our original deluxe carrier. It was one of the first introduced in the Sherpa line. It comes in four colors, fashionable colors, and then just a basic black for people who want a little traditional. But definitely, that's our bestseller. And the small and medium are guaranteed on board on several different airlines.
I don't know. This looks so great. I might just have to go out and adopt a 20-pounder.
Absolutely.
Now, what advice would you give to the first-time pet parents flying with Fido? Because like I said, for me, it's different for in-cabin and cargo. But still, if you've never flown and there's so much excitement in flying now these days, what kind of advice would you give people that want to travel with Fido and make it a fun experience?
Be sure to do your research on traveling with pets and speak to your vet to make sure your pet is able to travel, that they're healthy enough. And then make sure that you understand the airline's requirements and that you filled out all the proper paperwork and made reservations. There's so much available information out there, both on our GOB site as well as other pet travel sites on how to bring your pet and the best ways to keep your pet safe and healthy.
And I always would tell people, and you can tell me if this is something, too, that you would agree with, but if you haven't placed your dog in a pet travel carrier, it's not advisable to do it the day of the flight.
Absolutely. With our Sherpa carriers, we always recommend that you try it out several times. Try it out and leave the house, run to the vet, run to the store, run to PetSmart, run to Petco, so you can bring your dog in and sort of get him used to the carrier and comfortable in the carrier. In terms of getting your pet comfortable in there, one of the best ways to do it is just to leave it open in the house so that they can kind of come and go as they please and that it gets to be a safe spot for them. It's also great preparedness for any emergency situations when you need to get your pet into a carrier quickly and get out of the house.
Yeah, those are all great reminders. So any of us that are lucky enough to have our little 20-pounders are under and want to travel this summer, be sure and check out SherpaPet.com. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Susan.
For more information, go online to SherpaPet.com. And before I leave, I wanted to give you a great lead on a place to stay and play with Fido this year. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Fido-friendly travel talk on Animal Radio.
This week on Animal Radio.
Let me introduce you to the crew over here. We have Dr. Debbie. She answers your vet medical questions. Dog father Joey Villani, of course, from Animal Planet's Dogs 101 and Groomer Has It. Also, animal communicator Joy Turner. She can bridge the gap between you and your pet. Also, dog trainer Alan Cable. You have some pretty well-behaved dogs.
Yes, my dogs are happy and well-adjusted, and your dogs are neurotic like you.
Catch Animal Radio Saturday, noon Eastern on XM 166.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And before I leave, I wanted to give you a great lead on a place to stay and play with Fido this year. The Cambria Shores Inn is located in Northern California. So this AAA three diamond property is right across the highway from the Pacific Ocean, and many rooms have an ocean view. Your pet is given the VIP treatment with their own welcome basket filled with goodies. And you'll also enjoy a beautifully prepared breakfast basket delivered to your doorstep each morning. That includes fresh fruit, fresh baked pastries, and a carafe of orange juice. After a day of exploration, settle into one of the Adirondack chairs with Fido resting on the lawn beside you and gaze at the beautiful vista of Moonstone Beach. Fido gives this property four paws up. Check them out at CambriaShores.com and mention Fido Friendly to receive a discount. So that's it for Fido Friendly Travel Talk. For more information about today's show or about traveling with Fido, log on to FidoFriendly.com. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at AnimalRadio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio Network.